This is coming on the heels of Super Tuesday and probably didn't win as many states as you would have liked. Illinois might be hard to win given Hillary grew up here, though polls have indicated that Bernie has a shot. Do you think it's winnable? And in general, how are you keeping the momentum positive given the losses on Tuesday?
Well, actually, we knew all along that this Super Tuesday was a tough match for us. We knew the red states in the South were going to be difficult. And we focused on the states that we won. We won all the delegates in Vermont, where he knows he's known best, and that was kind of exciting. And by 72 percentage points, the win was. He won 22% up in Minnesota, in Oklahoma, and 19 in Minnesota. And he came within a point in Massachusetts, and we will be splitting the delegates pretty much equally there. So he was feeling quite good about yesterday. We were hoping to win 5. We won 4 and came within 1 percentage point of winning the other.
And so Senator Sanders was recently in Chicago criticizing local lawmakers, as he called it, for holding higher education funding hostage. We know there's the budget stalemate, obviously. Tell us more about that and what he was hoping to accomplish with his visit here.
Well, I think he went to the University of Chicago. He's familiar with Chicago, but I don't know that Illinois is as familiar with him. And so he went and he talked about the issues that he always talks about and put a local focus on it. I mean, we know that there are real problems in the Chicago schools. We know that there are real problems in the Chicago government right now. So he has felt very strongly that he speaks out about the issues, but he also connects with people where they are. You know that he has been very focused on the cost of higher education, the concerns about inequitable education in K-12 across this country. He's concerned about student debt, the epidemic of student debt, and he has solutions that he would like voters across the country to know about. Of course, there are many, many other things. He's been a mayor here in Burlington, and he was very active. He supported Chuy Garcia in the mayoral race in Chicago. He knows what it's like, the difficulties there are in running a city, and the concerns about criminal justice, the concerns about infrastructure. There are so many things that are nationwide concerns, and they're replicated throughout this country. And as a presidential candidate, he's offering real criminal justice reform, and he's offering an infrastructure bill that would put 13 million people back to work and really start to address our crumbling infrastructure and the fact that we're falling behind the rest of the world in that area.
And just to touch once again real quick here on Senator Sanders' ties to Chicago and Illinois, he, like every candidate for president, has been targeted by the Black Lives Matter movement for not doing enough for minorities. Though recently, the Chicago Tribune released photos of him being arrested as a University of Chicago student, which for some was tangible evidence that he has long been an activist in the fight for racial equality. How did that period of his life affect where he is now and why he is running for president?
Well, his time at the University of Chicago really brought him into a different world for him. He became very involved in civil rights, in the fight for social justice. He worked with CORE. He worked with a number of people in the area and fought segregated housing owned by the University of Chicago. Then he also fought against segregated schooling. So he has been, I think that really lit a fire for justice within him. He's always had a sense of having to stand up for people who are being treated unfairly. At the University of Chicago, he learned not only could he empathize with people or do personal things, but that he could organize and he could lead and he could work with like-minded people to really affect change. And so I think that had quite a bit to do with his political life. He did that. He's been very involved in civil rights in every area. He was, as mayor, very supportive of LGBT rights right from the beginning, long before it was popular. As congressman, he had 100% voting record by the NAACP consistently his whole tenure there in Congress and in the Senate. He voted against the Defense of Marriage Act. So he's been very active his whole life. No matter where people are, no matter what race, ethnicity, issue that they're dealing with, he will be in your corner. If he feels you're being treated unfairly, he's the best man to have to fight for you.
And so it seems he's the first candidate to be in a position where critics say he's not a good candidate because A, he's a socialist, or B, he's not socialist enough. So why hasn't he shied away from that word yet?
Bernie's just honest as the day is long. I mean, somebody asked him once many years ago, are you a democratic socialist? And he said, yeah, you know, and it's basically the social democrats that run all the countries in Europe, most of the countries in Europe, or the labor parties. So it's a label that might put people off when they first hear it. But if they listen, they know that they agree with him on the basic tenets there. He believes that people should be able to live their lives in dignity and security, which means to him that they can have health care as a right of citizenship, not as a privilege that costs exorbitant amounts of money and exorbitant costs for deductibles and co-payments. He believes that higher education should be something that people who have the ability and the desire to get should be able to get it without bankrupting their future. He believes that parents that have babies should be able to stay home to bond with that baby, paid medical and family leave. He also recognizes that many people are in between generations. Many baby boomers, for instance, are taking care of their older parents. They're trying to figure out how to pay for their kids' college. So he believes that people should have a life that is less stressful and more of an ability to do the work that you love, explore the education that you love, and to be able to spend enough time with your family without having to worry about being in poverty. He doesn't believe that people should work 40 hours a week and be in poverty. So that's democratic socialism. I think it resonates with the vast majority of people.
All right. And just a few more questions to get through here, if you don't mind. And a couple I wanted to ask just specifically to you. You've been called your husband's political advisor, and I'm just wondering if that's true. And if so, what sort of issues do you make sure he's vested in?
Well, we're best friends and we're colleagues as well as husband and wife. So we worked together before we got married. We worked together for 7 years. So I think that built a sense of trust in each other's judgments, and we look to each other for advice and whatever comes up. He focuses on policies, systemic issues. I tend to focus on the practical application and how it affects people on a human scale. So I think we balance each other out that way. I'm always emphasizing probably way too much with every issue that I hear about. And he's thinking, okay, how is that something that we can implement that makes sense from a perspective of a government? So I advise him on everything. He doesn't take advice on everything.
So there's been debate over whether or not a true feminist should vote for Sanders over Hillary Clinton. Are you a feminist? Is your husband?
Yes, we are both feminists, and we'll both be voting for Bernie Sanders. But I think I just don't believe when we're talking about votes and democracy in this country that we should be talking about them from the standpoint of gender politics or racial politics or identity politics of any kind. I mean, I think it is a very, very important position, not just in this country, but in the world. And we need to be looking to our candidates and saying, are they espousing what we absolutely believe? Are they talking about creating a country that is something that we could be proud of, that is the country we envision? And can they do the job? And the answer to that with Bernie, to an increasing number of people, is yes. I don't think that I wouldn't vote for somebody because they were a man. I wouldn't vote for somebody because they're a woman. That's one component that you might consider, but certainly not the deciding factor. The one thing that we have going for us that's really wonderful, and it's an enviable position to be in, is the more people get to know Bernie and get to know who he is as a person, what he believes, and what he would be like as an elected official, or what he is like as an elected official, the more they like him, the more they support him. So our strategy and our challenge is to let the rest of the country know what Vermonters certainly know, and more people you're seeing across the Midwest are beginning to recognize, is that he's a person that we could be very proud of.
So if Bernie Sanders does in fact become the Democratic nominee and Donald Trump is the Republican one, what do you envision their debates and their public discourse to be like?
I think that it will be quite a clear contrast for the voters to see. Donald Trump does not believe that we should raise the minimum wage. In fact, he thinks higher wages wages in America are too high. Bernie clearly disagrees with that. He has been very bad on the trade deals, very supportive of NAFTA, CAFTA, permanent trade relations with China, as has Secretary Clinton. And Bernie definitely has been a leader in opposition to that. He wants fair trade that benefits all parties, but particularly with an eye towards the working class. So I think that beyond the issues, what we see with Donald Trump is he divides people. That's how he is getting his support. He's saying people who are angry, people who are frustrated, should blame Muslims, Mexicans, any number of people. He divides, which is not unusual in history. Demagogues have always done that. Bernie's whole campaign is about bringing people together to be similar to Vermont common sense values, which is we are all in this together. We need to support each other. We need to have the vast majority of Americans, whether they're Black or white, Hispanic, Asian American, Mexican American, we need to bring people together and work together to better our nation and to be more tolerant and to be more engaged in the political process. So I think it would be a very good debate. And I also think that if you look at the latest polls, Bernie is much better situated to defeat Donald Trump or Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio, according to the latest polls. He beat Trump by 12 percentage points, where Secretary Clinton only beat him by 8, and she lost to other candidates, whereas Bernie continued to win the day. And I think it's because he has appealed to people across the spectrum. He has appealed to independents as well as less conservative Republicans. And he appeals mostly to the working class. One other thing I would add is that when you look at the map of the elections that have taken place in the various states, Secretary Clinton seems to be winning the states that will, if history is any guide, will go for the Republicans in the future, most of them. And Bernie has won the states that would go Democrat. So again, he's in a better position to defeat the Republicans in November.
And so, just real quick, final question here. I cover arts and culture for the most part. So, I'm just curious what kind of music you guys like to listen to for fun.
Oh, we really have an eclectic interest in music. I mean, he has taught the grandchildren about classical music, but he loves Motown. I grew up on the Beatles and love them. We just have the radio on all the time. So anything that's playing is usually good.
And final, okay, promise, this is really the last one. Did you ever expect to be this close to being the first lady of the United States of America?
Well, I actually never considered it. No. but I knew when Bernie started to think about running, the main reason that we decided to pursue it was that we feel that our country is on a tipping point. We seem to be seeing more and more political and economic power in the hands of fewer and fewer people. And I think we're on the precipice of becoming an oligarchy. And we thought about it, and we complained about it, and Bernie spoke about it. And we realized the best way to address the issue, the main issues, was to run for president and to shift the debate, which he certainly has, nobody can doubt. But we need to focus on these issues and address them because our concern is our democracy is in danger. And we could have either given up or shown up. We chose to show up.
All right, Jane Sanders, any parting words particularly for people here in Illinois as we wrap up?
Yes, please. The most important thing in our democracy is to vote. That's the first step to transforming America. We cannot move forward with, as Bernie calls it, the political revolution that puts power in the hands of the people and creates a government of, for, and by the people, unless people vote. I think the concern that I hear all the time from the establishment is, well, these young people and people who haven't been participating in the process are not going to come out. And if they're right, nothing's ever going to change. So if you want change, please get out and vote in the primaries.